Welcome to Crunching the Numbers, going inside and breaking down the game and finding out what all the data means.
Welcome to another episode of Crunching the Numbers. You have joined myself, Mark Zampoulos, and the ever so smart Mr. Tennis Nerd himself, Shane Leonage. Thank you, Shane, from Data Driven Sports Analytics. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hi, everyone. I am certainly not going to take on all of that Mark's always throwing at me. But it's great to join you again and great to try and bring some data and statistics into the world of tennis.
It's awesome. And especially during the time that we've been having, you know, with not much tennis being played around the world or none at all, it's really important for us to keep tennis at the forefront of people's minds. And what we've done this week is we've put it out on social media for you, the listener, to actually give us your feedback as to what you think is the most important stats in the game. And Shane had a few really good ideas and he threw some questions out to you. So Shane, you've obviously collated a lot of the answers that people have been giving. And we had a lot of responses, which we really thank people and thank everyone for listening. But what are the commonalities that we've sort of started to get in terms of trends of the data?
Yeah, as Mark said, we've decided to do something a little bit different with this podcast and really wanted to engage with you, our audience. So you've probably seen over the last few weeks on the data-driven sports analytics, tennis menu and the first serve social media channels, a few questions being posed on what you, the listener, thinks is more important to winning a match. We've been very fortunate to get such good engagement on these questions. But as a typical data nerd, I do want to put a caveat out there. And that's obviously a poll like this isn't necessarily reflective of the entire tennis community or the broader world population. So don't draw too many inferences from this in that sense. But I did want to put that out there so everyone was on the same page there. But nonetheless, we still had a great number of voters, over 1,000 for each question. And I really think our tennis community is a really highly educated tennis network. So let's see what I suppose the results show today. The other thing I'll put out there is the analysis was conducted using a free open source machine learning tool called Weka, using over 3,200 of the matches in the DDSA match library. And we just used some simple correlation analysis between the two questions, and that's winning a match, to see which is more correlated based on the sort of conditions that we put. We'll tell you why the results are important, but also why it's important not to look at these results without some further context. I think that's really important. So throughout the podcast, you'll sort of hear Mark and myself sort of add in some context to it. Okay, now that we've got all that admin stuff out of the way, let's see how everyone did. The first question I posed was, is it more important to get a higher first percentage of serves into play than your opponent? Or is it more important to have a higher winning percentage on the first serve points than your opponent? So the results from the voting were unanimous in this category, with 82% voting that a higher winning percentage on the first serve points was more important. Not surprising that people voted this way, I think. And when we looked at the correlation analysis, there was certainly more correlation winning the match if a higher percentage of first serve points was won. Now, while the results are probably not that surprising, I want to add some caution here to our listeners. We looked at this in a binary way, and we did this with a number of our questions, where you look at whether you are higher or lower than your opponent and ignore the margin of difference, which is also important to look at and would potentially change the outcome. But nonetheless, there was certainly more correlation with winning if you were able to win more first serve points than your opponent in this question. So Mark, over to you. Let's unpick that. I'd love to hear your take.
It's an interesting one, because I would have gone straight away and thought about the higher winning percentage of first serves would be hands down the stat that would correlate more to success. But I feel like, you know, there's so many different game styles and players out there. The counterpunching baseliner just serves the ball in to start the point, you know, and they rely so heavily on the ground stroke side of the game. The big servers really rely heavily on the first serve winning percentage. But, you know, the taller guys, the Isners, the Karlovic, the Riley Opelka, they've got to win the point, you know, hitting big serves, and then they've got to hit a second serve and they've got to go big again. So, you know, it's a really interesting stat, because there's so many different parts of our game, and it's very hard to pigeonhole everybody into one category. So I feel like I still will go down the path of higher win percentage on first serve is more important, but I won't discount the other one. I think it's important to to have a flexible mindset, an adaptable mindset that says, well, it all depends on the player I have in front of me.
That's really well put, Mark, and I agree with that, of course. So let's move on to the next question. And this is when, compared to your opponent, we looked at, is your starting return position more important than the movement forward after the return? So the movement for the return plus one ball, which is more important? So the vote was a bit closer, with 40% thinking the starting return position, having it closer to the baseline than your opponent, was more important. And 60% said the movement forward after you hit the return for that return plus one was more important, to have a more of a movement than your opponent. And the results showed that having a higher average movement forward, so the correlation results, did actually have a higher correlation with winning than the starting return position. So love to hear your thoughts on this one too, Mark.
It's an interesting one, because I tried to do all your questions, Shane, and I'm no smart cookie at all. But I think it was very... This one here is basically player dependent. So you think of players and you look at maybe the Andre Agassiz of the past, who took away court space, and that's how he pressured you into doing things that you didn't want to do. And then you look at someone like Daniil Medvedev, or you look at Rafa Nadal, and they have such a success of starting back and then pushing forward. And I feel like, again, we look at player dependence, we look at game style, we look at, you know, who you is in front of you and what kind of player are they and what do they need. You know, we coached, you know, David Einal at the Australian Open, and, you know, his return position at the start was, you know, when we first started with him, was right inside the baseline on the hard court, and he didn't have the time to do what he wanted to do. So I pulled his return position back a little bit to give him a little bit more time. So it becomes what the player needs, not what the data says. And I feel like, you know, when you talk about data, one of the most important things is it's how it relates to you. And if it doesn't relate to you, then don't use it. So, you know, I feel like there's probably pros and cons for both concepts, starting back and starting forward, but always take into account what the player you have likes. For example, if you have Eastern grips, you want to be up the court a little bit to be able to use the ball speed. If you have Western grips, you're going to need to stand back further and have more time to be able to then wind up your shot. So if you can think about what your shots actually need, then you'll probably determine where you need to stand to start the point.
So that's actually a really good point that Mark makes. And I want to stay on that a while longer. It's really important to individualize this analysis for your player. The data set we've used is comprehensive. There's 3,200 matches across the board on the men's and women's tour. But it could be potentially skewed by certain players that appear more in the data set, or simply by your player working could be completely different to how he plays to a lot of people. So it could be an outlier. So it's really important that once you see this high-level analysis, that you take a step further and individualize that to your player. And I think we've talked about that in a number of podcasts as well. So the next question we had was, does winning a higher percentage of first serve points than your opponent matter more than winning a higher percentage of second serve points than your opponent? The majority here of our voters went for the latter. In fact, just a tick over 70%. And the data certainly agreed with what people said. But the difference in correlation rate to winning was certainly not as high as what people may have expected. So there was only a slight difference. And that highlights the point that both areas are areas of importance to focus on.
This is a good question. I think it intertwines with the first question you had around winning percentage on the first serve. So if you're going for your first serve and hitting it big, you'll probably win more points on your first serve than you lose, but you'll probably miss more first serves at the same time, which then comes back to the second serve a lot more often, I guess. So, you know, if you're serving, and generally if you're hitting a big first serve, you're probably going to serve on average 55 to 60% of your first serves are going in. That's if you're going for it and trying to win the point with a really big serve and a big first ball. That would be, obviously you'll have a smaller serve percentage rate if that's the case, which then falls back onto your second serve, and you're going to need to win more points on your second serve as well. So it's a really challenging one, because it's game style dependent. So your counter punchers will be rolling the serves in and getting started. Your big servers are going to be hitting big and looking to attack, and no matter what serve it is. So, you know, I did vote, I remember this one clearly, I did vote for that the second serve point is the more important one for me, because if you are playing the game the right way and trying to capitalize on your 0-4 shot ratio, then obviously then, you know, it's important to win more points on that second serve, because you'll be missing more first serves, going for more and trying to do more with the ball.
Yeah, but I think the next question follows on well from that. So does winning a higher percentage of second serve points on your serve than your opponent matter, or winning a higher percentage of second serve return points on your opponent's serve matter. So this is, again, we're comparing your performance on these to your opponent. So this one was split with our social media having 49-51, slightly for the latter, but so that's winning more of your opponent's second serve than he would win on your second serve. And the results were also hard to say one way or the other. The correlation analysis being pretty similar, only by a very slight margin did having a higher second serve return points success correlate better. But really, with the margin of error on these analysis, I would say they're practically of equal importance based on that data. And again, you got to contextualize this data for your situation.
I know I would have totally agreed with that. When I looked at that question, Shane, I went, can I vote both? How do I go to both? And I think it's obviously really important to spread the wins across the serve and the return. You know, obviously in the men's game, it's really important that you hold serve. And that's probably critical. And you'll probably have minimal chances to break at the highest level. And if you do get that chance, you want to be able to capitalize. I don't think the numbers are going to sway too much in that favor. But, you know, I think it's important that, you know, if you do have an opportunity in men's tennis, that you are able to step up to the court and take the advantage of that. In women's tennis, it's probably a little bit more break of serve. So obviously it'll be split right across the board, probably where the split is in the women's game. But, you know, it's an interesting question you did ask. And it gets you thinking. And as a coach, I know when there's a question out there, I generally really think about how I do teach. And as a player, you should be thinking about, well, how do I play? What am I thinking of? What's my intent at this moment in time? And it does challenge you. So if these questions have challenged you when you're out there, you know, on social media and thinking about these questions Shane's given you, question yourself all the time, because it helps you so much to become better at what you do. You know, the more you question yourself as a coach or an athlete, the better you can become. And continue to question yourself and challenge your own thoughts, because that's when, you know, greatness does happen, is when you're challenging yourself. Because I know you've challenged me in the past, Shano, and it has made me a better coach. So continually, you know, do that within yourself.
So the next question is actually an interesting one. I certainly was interested in seeing the outcome of the results here. And the question was, does having a higher or greater success at the net than your opponent, so a higher net points won, correlate more to winning than more success from the baseline than your opponent, so a greater winning percentage from the baseline? And to be honest, I was very surprised by the voting results on this. And perhaps it reflected that we've got some nostalgic 90s and 80s fans in our social network. So just over 60%. Thought that the volley success was more important than baseline success for your results. Unfortunately, looking at the data, it does show that winning a higher percentage of baseline points than your opponent is more correlated with winning. It wasn't as clear cut as I thought, with certainly a good correlation with winning if you're better than your opponent at the net. The sheer quantity of points, baseline points in matches, is it's not hard to see why the results sort of skew towards baseline success being more correlated with winning.
It's interesting, because I think that the higher winning percentage is when the person is coming forward, but yet the percentage that this question relates to is definitely more points are played from the back.
Yeah.
So I feel like the numbers are probably skewed due to the ability of players that are, there's more players that stay back than come forward. But yet when you come forward now these days, it's more about coming forward at the right times, as opposed to, like we did talk about previously in our podcast, you know, the 90s, it was serve volley, or, you know, 80s was serve volley. You know, it's not as many times you're coming in. So you've got less numbers, but more winning ratio.
Yeah.
Whereas at the back of the court, you've got more numbers, and then obviously it correlates to more winning ratio. So, yeah, I hope that, I would love to say that coming forward is going to win you more matches. And in the long run, if you had the success rate of what net play gives you, it will probably win you a match. But you've got to be coming in 100 times a match to do that.
I think there's no disagreement with Mark and me there. The next two questions, and I might read them out fast together. And they're questions that we gravitate a lot in our podcast, and that's about rally lengths. The first one's a simple one, I think. We'll certainly, if you listen to our podcast, it should be relatively simple. So winning the 0-4 category or winning the 5-8 category, which is more important? And again, it was almost a landslide here with the voting, with almost everyone sort of voting for the 0-4, and the correlation analysis was quite heavily in favor of the 0-4 as well. We followed up this question with one around, does the first two shots, so the serve and return, winning that matter more than winning the serve plus one and the return plus one shots? And this one split social media. About 50-50 was, I think it was 49.8 and 50.2 to be precise. But yeah, it split social media. And the correlation analysis was also interesting. It was very marginally correlated towards the serve and return being more important than the serve plus one and return plus one, but it was very close on that. And it shows, I think, the importance of all of those first four shots are critical.
I mean, 0-4, there's no doubt it should be a landslide. I think we discussed on a previous episode that if you win 60%, was it 60% of the 0-4 and didn't win anything in the other categories, you could still win the match, which is, you know, amazing. So definitely the 0-4 is the most important part. And then following on from that, you know, it's interesting because I think, what was one of your data? I can't remember what you gave me. You gave me data based on how many points finished with an ace or an unreturnable.
Yes.
I think it was about 35%.
30? Yeah, about 33%.
Yeah. So if you look at that kind of ratio and you think of, wow, how important is it to firstly make the serve? It's the most important part, but obviously you still got to go for it. But if you can win, you know, 30 odd percent of points with that, then I never thought of it in that respect, but I still feel like the serve plus one is really critical because the return of serve in this modern game is incredible. The way that people react and respond and are able to counterpunch and are able to see the ball quick and make you play another shot, you're always having to play a second ball. And I feel like if you're good on those first two shots, serve plus one or even return plus one, it holds you in a really good position to continually have success. You know, you can serve well one day, but can you consistently do that match to match, week to week, year to year? Unless you're John Isner, Ivo Karlovic, and Riley Opelka, it hasn't been seen to be done very often unless you're that tall. So I think it's important to look at your first two shots as important as each other and utilize your first serve to set up your second shot.
Mark mentions a good point here that the players are different, whether gender, height, game style. So it's important, the importance of the serve and return versus the serve plus one and the return plus one will vary depending on the player that you're working with, player that you are. The data does clearly show that, yeah, collectively, these first four shots are really important. So find, I suppose, the part of the first four that you really need to focus on as a collective, the 0-4, you do need to improve on generally. Other thing I want to point out is while we've done sort of a head-to-head on stats here, it's important not to look at any of these stats in isolation. You have to bring it together. There's a number of things when you're game playing, scouting opponents, benchmarking, or trying to improve in general, and you have to look at these things together, not in isolation.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. And I think in a previous episode, we've also talked with another coach, Zach O'Lean, who spoke about this as well, because, you know, it's important to take into account the person you have in front of you. How does the data relate to who you're working with? Or if you're the player, how does the data relate to me? And that's when you think and question yourself as to, how can I utilize this data? Okay, I'm a counterpuncher. Do I have to worry so much about winning, you know, first serve points? Or do I need to make sure that it's all about constructing the point, you know, hit the serve here, get them in a position off the back of the court, win the points with 5-8 or 9+ as opposed to the first four. You know, what's my game style and how do I need to structure my game? And if you can take into account all those key points about how it relates to you, you know, data is one of the most amazing things that you can use. And it's changed my coaching. It's changed my players' thinking. It's changed tennis. And I think it's catching up to a lot of other sports, because we're so far behind in utilizing data, and you're one of the leaders in that, Shane, especially in this country, in Australia. And, you know, we obviously continue to hopefully educate people on how to use the data, not just what data is telling us. So, you know, once again, you know, your thoughts around how we can educate the tennis listener out there is amazing. So thanks again for the research you've put in and obviously those questions you put out on social media.
Yeah, no, and I want to thank everyone on social media that engaged and commented. And I got a number of emails as well saying, oh, this is great. So thank you, everyone. And yeah, keep tuning in and hopefully we can still keep bringing you good content in this period of isolation.
Thanks again, Shane. That was another episode of Crunching the Numbers. Shane Leonard from Data Driven Sports Analytics, thank you very much. And I'm Mark Sefulis from The Tennis Menu. We thank you for listening to us week in, week out, and we hope that we've been able to give you some light at the end of your tunnel to hopefully see tennis coming back in the not too distant future. And thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week.